The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. The Bachelor is over.
Yes, very, very exciting. I can't believe it's only Tuesday. Last night's Bachelor finale, 3 hours. Like, when I was done, it was like 11:15. I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, there was a lot to unpack. Of course, that's what we're here to do today, in addition to just brightening the lives of millions of Americans right. And a few Canadians.
And also keeping you abreast of all the other news that you need to know, which, spoiler alert, not much.
Jackie, I can't stress how important it is to constantly be kept abreast.
No, it's so important. Like, you think it might not be, but it is.
Speaking of breast, I actually have a surprise for you today.
I have a surprise for you.
Okay.
You go first since you brought it up.
So this is really for people on the YouTube because it's more of like a visual present. Okay, ready?
Are you going to show me your...
sexy shirt under
sexy
my jacket.
Sexy shirt. Oh my God, can we get a close-up? Wait, turn your shoulder. Give it... Serve it to the camera. Oh my God. I forgot about sexy shirt and how much it meant to me during the queue that I experienced.
And I know you were going to be feeling all RDH that it's only Tuesday, so I thought I would brighten your day a little bit.
No, that's something that's like, it's always nice to get a little sexiness on a Tuesday, because at least Wednesday we have hump day, but like mm-hmm. Tuesday, what's...
Tuesday deserves love too.
Tuesday deserves love too in the form of a cold shoulder. But now, my surprise for you, I brought your gift.
Oh, right.
I got Claudia a gift while I was away last weekend. I was just in the gift shop and I saw something that I was just like, this is Claudia in a gift. It's nothing crazy, but I saw it and I thought of you.
Is it a sweatshirt?
No, I wrapped it in a sweatshirt. Okay. I know. So fancy.
I wonder what it is. It's big. Oh, this is so nice. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Sorry that I didn't like wrap it.
A puzzle.
Turn it over.
It is okay. First of all, it is a 500 piece puzzle, which is my, you know, like soft spot, and it is a piece of artwork with lots of leaves that says piece by piece, but piece is spelled P-E-A-C-E.
P-E-A. Yeah, no, it's a puzzle that's supposed to bring inner peace because like the leaves are very calming.
Also, this is a really hard puzzle.
Yeah, so wow. I think that
this is so thoughtful.
It's just a puzzle plus piece, which is you.
A puzzle plus peace. And you know, more often than not, a puzzle brings me peace. So.
Right. So, and this one is stunning. Designed to bring you peace.
It's just beautiful.
I thought you would like
it. This is from the Mayflower.
The Mayflower Inn. It was
wow,
in the gift shop. And I was
Real Housewives history.
Right. I just.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I hope you enjoy it.
I do. I love puzzles. And you know, I bought so many puzzles at the beginning of quarantine and I've done all of them already. And like, do you do puzzles twice? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know what people do because I don't even do puzzles once.
That's crazy. Like, you're missing out, especially because you're so smart. Like, you have that type of mind. And also, like, if you are ever, like, at a nightclub and you drop your earring on the floor, you want Jackie there to find it. Like, she has crazy eyes. So you actually would be so good at puzzles. And okay. It might bring you peace. Maybe we'll do it together.
Maybe we'll do it together.
No, I really actually think, like, you of all people, I know you hate games. It's not a game. It's so relaxing doing one on your own with like a coffee and like you leave it on your table.
No, that does sound nice.
I actually think you would like it. Do you want this one?
No. Okay. Oh my God, you don't like it?
No, of course I do, but I want you to have a puzzle.
Yeah, no, I can get a puzzle. I actually have puzzles in my house, I think, because I've been like
start
gifted.
Easy, because like a hard puzzle can actually like ruin your day.
Okay, I'll start easy. I'll think about it.
That
maybe
was
we'll have
so
like
nice.
A game
thank
night.
You.
You're welcome.
When you told me you got me a gift, I tried to get you one. I just like never found myself in a store. Do you know what I mean?
No, and also it's like sometimes you don't choose the gift chooses you. Like I didn't go in there saying I need to get something for Claudia, but something for Claudia found its way to me.
And actually in my own way, like I did get you a present because I traveled near and far and I found a hotel that I just know you're gonna like. So like I did the work for you.
Thank you.
I stayed at the hotel for you.
You're so generous.
That's what I do here. That's what sisters do.
That's what sisters do. So I'm glad you like it. Hopefully you could play with
Even though, like, and I'm going to be very cautious about what I say. Like, puzzles do give me March tie-dye vibes.
Ooh.
I think a lot of people can relate to, like, certain things that they hoarded or started to do at the beginning of quarantine that, like, no longer bring them joy. It just reminds them of that really dark time, like, when we were all tie-dyeing things and pretending we were happy.
Yeah. But it's, like, a year ago today, you know, the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, that actually, like, wasn't that dark of times. Like, it was so novel that it was kind of exciting. It was, like,
2 weeks off.
4 months later, 6 months later, yeah. 8 months later. Like, those were the hard times, at least for me personally.
Oh, 100%. I actually, on my time hop, I finally caught up to, like, you know, the flatten the curve. And I guess I actually remember, like, I remember my friend Margo came over. Do you remember at the beginning of quarantine? I was like, I'm having a game night. Like, should I cancel? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, oh my, this bitch is so dramatic. And my friends came over, and my friend Margo, who's, like, always very smart, she's very, like, cautious. She was like, are you guys going to, like, get, like, canned food? I'm like, what? Like, hunkering down for, like, a storm? I'm like, you're crazy. And I was literally, like, the last person to go to the grocery store, that by the time Ben went for us, like, it was when, you know, there was no toilet paper. And we were literally living off of, like, Hawaiian rolls. That was all they had at the grocery store. But in my time hop, I finally got a picture of, like, when my whole counter was just, like, filled with, like, random supplies.
Yeah.
And it actually brought me back to, like, that part was fun. That was, like, a sleepover.
Yeah, it's like a snow day.
Yeah.
You know? But then it turned into something else.
Yes. Snow year.
So I feel bad. I feel bad for the tie-dye.
Yeah, no, tie-dyeing will just, like, never not make me, like, sad.
Yeah, I feel that. But I feel like we could bring back puzzles. That one is so peaceful.
And puzzles actually really were one of the things that, like, made me really excited. Like, it was like a nighttime activity in quarantine.
Yeah.
That and, like, Quiplash.
Yeah. Oh my God, those were the days. Also for me, it was, like, reading and
cooking.
And, like, look how far I've come in the last year. Like, I thought when I was cooking pasta at home, I was like, wow, chef.
That's true.
I was like, I'm such a chef. And now, like, I'm literally cooking lemon chicken.
Limoncello.
Garlic mashed potatoes made of cauliflower.
By the way, that's so true, because I remember at the beginning of quarantine, we were both saying how, like, people who were listening to us who, like, use their kitchens actively, like, they thought we were insane. But I had literally never used my stove before quarantine, and I was actually making myself dinner last night, and I was like, look at me. Uh-huh. I'm not even in quarantine, and I'm making myself chicken.
No, totally.
Yeah.
Good times. I'm
proud of us.
Proud of us as well.
And I wish I had a Kindle. Because now I'm, like, so hooked on my Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really anti-Kindle.
You were.
I was like, so Carrie Bradshaw, I need, like, to feel the book.
And now it's like, I can't hold a book. It hurts my wrists.
You know, and the airiness of the Kindle is just unmatched.
No, it's unmatched. And I just got this lap thing from Barnes & Noble where, like, you stick your Kindle in and you rest it on your lap. It's like a pillow.
Hands free.
So all I have to do is tap, and it's like, and my wrists, I mean, the Kindle couldn't be lighter. But now if I have to hold it, I'm like, ow.
Also, Kindle needs to come out with, like, a little, you know how when you have a selfie stick, you get, like, a little Bluetooth clicker?
Claude, I said this.
Oh.
Like, on the show, but it was before you were a Kindle user, and I so agree. They just need a Bluetooth.
Like, next, you're laying comfortably, and you have to pick your arm, hand up.
Like, you're laying on your 100%.
Yeah, like, they make them for, like, selfie sticks and stuff.
It shouldn't be that hard. Kindles have Wi-Fi. They should have Bluetooth.
They do have Bluetooth, I think.
So maybe someone makes one, but it should be, like, it's Amazon. Like, just they could do that in their sleep.
Yeah, no, they literally could.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is our quarantine recap. And I just really look forward to the day where we stop talking about coronavirus, you know? And I'm getting there.
Yeah, I look forward to it as well. You know what else I'm looking forward to? Thursday. Because we have a little merch collection dropping on Thursday. And I don't want to spoil too much. You'll see it tomorrow. We'll wear it on the show. But I would say that it is beautiful, stunning, and smart.
You know, I would say that too. And you know me, I can't resist, like, a little sneak peek. So there's, what, like, 5 or 6 items. I have one in my hand. And I'm just going to give you, like, a brief whoop.
Okay.
Whoop. Whoop. That's all you need to know.
It's so cute. I was wearing mine yesterday. And it's also so comfortable. It's a different material than, like, the last drop. And I'm so excited for you guys to see it. Thursday, it will be launching. Stay tuned for all the deets. It's just a small, beautiful, stunning, and smart collection.
I would say it's a capsule collection.
Yes.
Yes.
Love a capsule.
So yes, that'll be Thursday, but starting tomorrow, you'll start to see some of the items on the show, on our Instagram. So make sure you're following The Morning Toast on Instagram. Yesterday, I was just, like, on fire with the Instagram. There was so much content.
Yeah, it was really good.
So little time.
And also, while you're on a following spree, follow me at Jackie Ashray.
And Theo, Pups. Pups with no job.
They've been on hiatus, though.
Their social media manager's kind of slacking.
No, well, I was going really hard for the pups, and then they came to me and they were like, listen, we need to take a break. Like, self-care, we just need to focus on ourselves right now, and we just can't be in the spotlight. And I said, pups, I hear you. Self-care.
They felt like they were being exploited.
Yeah, and it was just like every day a picture. Like, I'm always texting the moms, like, send me pictures of the pups. And the pups were like, we're tired.
No, also, like, we can only post so many pictures from our houses, and like, we haven't left our houses right. in a year.
You know what it actually was that made me stop posting so much from the pups? Like, I take premium pictures of Bruno every single day. It's a passion of mine. But I can't only post pictures of Bruno to pups. So I have to wait for a premium picture of Theo that's not in his bed. So it's like waiting for rain in this drop.
Amazing fucking reference. Waiting for you. It's like waiting for a rain in this drop.
So that's real.
And even teardrop comes down.
And even Margo and Magnolia, she just like doesn't send me like portrait mode, natural lighting photos like the ones I take of Bruce. And so the standard for pups is up here and no one's meeting it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there's nothing to post.
Okay.
Well, that's actually the truth. And I think I feel really good getting the truth off my chest.
I think that you should get back to work on the pups account. Like, I think so
you
should, good.
And I think you need to be taking premium photos of Theo outside.
But I think that like you bed. See Theo every day and like you take better pictures than me. Like everyone knows that.
I have maxed out on pictures I can take of him in the studio. If you look at the
pups. Why, we just got a new rug.
No, but if you look at the pups Instagram, like they're all, it's either Theo in the studio or Theo in the bed.
Well, because Theo's.
Just like his mom.
No, but like Theo works so hard. He only has time to be in the studio or at the house. And I think if you actually look at those pictures, you get a real sense of who Theo is and his work ethic.
I mean, I do agree with that. So he needs to work a little less hard, play more, take more pics.
100%.
100%.
So we have a great show. What's on tonight? On TV.
One of the real, I think Real Housewives of Dallas. I have a lot of catching up to do.
I caught up yesterday and like, I'm such a supporter of Real Housewives of Dallas. I really am. But like, my God, it was so bad.
Really?
Yeah. And like the drama is so fake. Like it's like they, it's frustrating when like a Housewives franchise has low ratings and it's so good and like people just aren't seeing that. But I feel as though like they deserve their ratings based on what they're giving me. Like it's really not
okay,
good.
Okay, well I felt like up until this point the season was pretty good, but I think I'm like 3 episodes behind now. So
I had to catch up on 2.
Okay, I'm going to catch up today. We'll recap tomorrow, switching gears a little bit. Back to Real Housewives.
And today's show is going to be a different little structure. We're not going to save our Bachelor recap for the end.
Because we know that's what you're all here for. Yes. So we are going to start with the Bachelor recap. So without further ado, let's get into the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode, you're probably wondering, Claudia, why you're glowing. Like the bags under your eyes are gone. You look so well rested. Thanks to Bowl & Branch, today's sponsor. No one wants to cut corners on what's important. And few things matter more than good night's rest. So true. Bowl & Branch's signature sheets feel so soft and light, you'll forget you're not actually sleeping on a cloud, and they're sustainably made for uncompromising quality from field to factory. They make the softest organic sheets at Bowl & Branch, and they get better with every wash. Comfort isn't their only standard. They use 100% sustainable raw materials, and as the first fair trade certified manufacturer of linen, you can feel good about your Bowl & Branch sheets as they feel against your skin. So I told everyone like maybe like 3 months ago, I totally refurbished my bed after spending basically an entire year in it. I felt like I wanted a whole new lease on life from my bed. And I heard amazing things. Actually, of course, I found out about Bowl & Branch from Rach Parcell. And I thought if it's good enough for the Parcell house, it's good enough for mine. And it has been a haven. Like me and Ben are sleeping like logs. I'm having the craziest dreams because I'm just like in this REM cycle that doesn't stop.
No wonder Theo can't get out of bed.
Yeah, literally. Like, and why would he? With Bowl & Branch. And obviously we have a great little code for you guys, but the ones that we are using are the signature hemmed sheets. They're the best seller. They're buttery soft, lightweight, organic cotton in a classic sateen weave for sheets that get softer over time. And what I like most about them is that they don't get like too hot or too cool, because I get like I get warm in my sleep. They are the perfect year-round sheets for most sleepers. And they focus on quality over quantity. No inflated thread counts, because more isn't always better. They come in 7 beautiful colors in all sizes, from twin beds up to California King. You can experience the best sheets you've ever felt at bowlandbranch.com. And get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use the promo code TOAST at checkout. That's Bowl & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code TOAST. Like me and my friend Nikki, we're always like obsessed with our beds. Like we're always sending, like, what pillows do you have? And I said Bowl & Branch and I gave her my code and she's living her best life.
Amazing. Sign on, sleep well.
Yeah, it's the only thing that matters.
Okay, Bachelor recap. Should we recap the whole episode?
Yeah. The really only part worth discussing was after the final rose.
Was the last 30 minutes of
the 3-hour special.
But we'll take it from the top. For those of you who didn't watch, we actually asked yesterday, do people want us to continue recapping The Bachelor and or award shows? And most of you said, no, we don't need to watch anymore. But some people said, like, I don't watch, but I just listen to your recaps, which is helpful. So let's just recap the episode.
And then we'll talk about where we go from here.
Yes.
So the episode itself was so boring. Like, I could have died. Like, those 2 hours felt like an eternity.
Right. And you feel like you have to watch live because it's the finale. So, like, you're watching with commercials and it's just painful.
Painful. So many commercials. And then the actual contents was just as boring as the commercials because it was just, like, all, like, just fine. Like, it was all standard. Like, of course, Matt's family loved the girls. They're both great girls. Well, like, whatever.
The family feels more strongly about one, but I actually felt like both girls made a really great impression, and the family felt really good about both of them, which was then interesting that his mom gave him this advice, which I actually think was just really good parental advice.
Yes, but not on The Bachelor.
But, you know, off-brand for The Bachelor.
And to be honest, like, I've always felt like one of the core problems with the franchise is, like, if they really want, like, a genuine success rate, it's very rare for someone. The Bachelor, they say it's weeks, whatever. It's literally, the whole thing is a month. Like, it's really not a natural place to fall in love. It's such a short amount of time. I think the way that they force engagements, like, with Rachel Lindsay's season, it really came to, like, a peak. Colton had a problem with it. Like, most people, and a lot of the people that they cast on The Bachelor are very religious. So most religious people, like, are not willing to get engaged unless it's, like, the one, you know?
Right.
So it's become, like, this hurdle. And even though I agreed with Matt, like, okay, you're not ready to rush into a proposal, so maybe don't go on the show that rushes people into proposals.
Right. I felt two ways about it. One, obviously, like, you know what you signed up for. That's what everyone says. But on the other hand, I was like, I kind of like that The Bachelor, this show is slow, like, pumping the brakes a little bit because these rush engagements are not
a joke.
They're not productive. Like, on a personal level, I liked the fact that he was like, let's end this in a relationship. They're both pretty young. Like, there's literally no rush. But for the show, it's like, you said the whole time your wife was in this room.
That's what it is. Like, it felt so random. Like, okay, your mom said one thing, and now everything you were thinking for the months before. And that's what Chris Harrison was trying to say. Even though he did come off, like, a little rude. Like, of course he's going to take his mom's advice. His mom is, like, his whole world. And literally, every time his mom cried, like, I cried, I loved her. And that was good parental advice outside of the scope of, like, this weird journey that they're on.
But it also sort of felt like his mom said one thing, and, like, he changed the trajectory of the show, where it sort of felt like he was waiting for some sort of reason to not get engaged.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a big deal, but, like, we just then spent so much of the episode, like, Matt just, like, sitting in silence, like, thinking, should I get engaged or not? And from an entertainment perspective, it was so boring.
Yeah.
He canceled the dates. Like, so it's literally, we're watching him pace around his room, Rachel pace around his room, Michelle pace around her room. Like, it was just boring, boring, boring.
Right, and then given the topics of conversation that after the final rose, we never even mentioned the whole plot of the episode, which was about him changing his mind on an engagement. And so everything we watched, like, there's never even a conversation about it.
And of the 3 hours, I feel like they probably spent, like, 15 to 20 minutes on, like, what we were really looking for. And I could have used just way more of that. But then by the time we got to Rachel and Matt's conversation, which we'll get into, it was filled with, like, mostly silence. So, like, I'm just from we'll get into, like, the deeper topics, but just from a purely entertainment perspective for a show that's supposed to capture us for 3 hours, I felt bored for so long of it. And, like, that's where I'm like, why am I subjecting myself to the show?
Yeah.
It's entertainment. It's supposed to entertain me.
Yeah, but you weren't entertained.
I was not entertained.
I will just say that the setup that was meant for the proposal,
sickening.
So sickening.
Maybe the most beautiful in Bachelor history.
Maybe, like, they're all extremely beautiful, but this was, like, a very, like, Hallmark wintry fall vibe.
They're all really beautiful except at the last season for both Claire and Dale and Zach and Tayshia. Like, it was not the cutest.
No, it was not the cutest, but they did a wonderful job. I thought it looked like a fairy tale. And then they had the horse-drawn carriage.
I agree.
At the end. And so, from a production standpoint, I really enjoyed the visual.
I completely agree. When he sent Michelle home, it was, like, really awkward because she had, like, just given him that gift. And what we found out afterwards, which I thought was so crazy, was, like, Michelle was, like, really heartbroken, like, off camera. Right, and Matt wouldn't even, like, talk to her.
Usually, I would say once we have, like, 6 or 8 people left, anytime someone leaves, it's a big deal, and there's a long conversation. They sit outside.
You walk them out.
Yeah, you talk about, like, it's not me, it's you. I'm sorry, Matt. It's not you, it's me.
No, Matt was just like, peace.
No, literally, we're done, goodbye.
It was so, like, harsh.
It was harsh, and so I thought maybe there was just stuff we weren't seeing or whatever, but the stuff we weren't didn't see is the fact that she wanted to have that conversation and that he said no.
Yeah, and I really did feel bad for her because she was like still even getting choked up on After the Final Rose, and she's a great girl, and spoiler alert,
she
will be one of the next bachelorettes, and I do think like she's a great girl, worthy of love. She can definitely carry a show. I think Matt struggled with that sometimes, like being the lead, and I think she'll be great, but I don't know if I'm gonna watch, but she'll be good.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Bachelorette, the upcoming season. But let's, so the breakup did seem very abrupt, especially because they had a really good day and things were going well.
Yeah.
So,
but it's just been so clear from the beginning that like Rachel is the girl.
So it's like, at what point are you just going to break up with her? Like, are you going to let her get dressed for a proposal?
Nah. Which I actually really respect.
Right.
I think towards the end, especially with the Bachelor, when they let like both girls come up like in their prom dresses, like at some point it's just mean.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. And I always like when, like, you know, he sends a girl home and the girl who won, like, doesn't know that the other girl went home. And she's, like, nervous. It's like, girl, you don't have anything to be nervous about. Like, it's you.
Right. In fact, but, like, Rachel really thought because he canceled. They never canceled the last date. And then she showed up. And I really thought she thought it wasn't going to happen for her.
It was like a fucked ending. Like, it just made no sense.
It was. But then it was a happy ending. And yeah. Then it wasn't.
Well, so, like, the whole time, like, in their own way, like, I have really felt from the beginning that Rachel and Matt, like, had the strongest connection. And it was, like, something you saw all along. And I was, like, watching it, like, happy for them, but, like, also, like, not, like, knowing what was coming up next.
Yeah.
So let's dive into After the Final Rose. The first thing was Chris Harrison was not there. And I know a lot of people are upset about it. A lot of people are happy about it. But at the end of the day, like, based on the conversations they had, like, I don't think anyone could have done a better job than Emmanuel Acho. Like, he was excellent.
He was excellent. He did an amazing job. I can't imagine. And thinking about how Chris Harrison would have handled the situation, I just don't think it would have been as impactful.
Even if he wasn't a part of the controversy. Like, even if he had stayed out of the whole thing, I don't think you could really grasp it if you're not Black.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he ever really goes that deep, ever.
I agree. So I think it ultimately worked out. People were confused because he was still doing the narrations. Like,
it was confusing. I thought, why didn't they just have like Emmanuel voice over it, or even Matt? Like,
yeah. And it's also like he said he's stepping back from The Bachelor, yet like here he is like working doing voiceovers.
And in the episode, more than he's ever been in any episode. Like, he was everywhere last night.
I mean, they could have, I guess, edited him out of the episode. But they chose early in the season to not edit the season based on things that were happening outside of the season.
That's true.
But I thought that him narrating the rest of the episode, I think it actually like, worked for cohesion. And then it was like nice that it wasn't him after the final rose.
Yeah, it couldn't have been him. Like, it really. And I thought Emmanuel was great, even though like his jacket was so tight. I could not stop staring at his arms. I'm like, if that was me, like I literally wore a dress on my trip that I busted out of. Like, I couldn't imagine that like in the back, like there wasn't some torn seams. I was just getting very distracted by it. Not that that was the point, but I was just curious if other people were distracted by that.
I noticed
that
it
as well.
Once, and then I wasn't distracted by it, though.
Got it. Okay. When he sat down, like, they did loosen up a little bit, but every time he stood, I was like, oh, my God, he's busting out of the jacket.
Hello.
So they brought Michelle out first. Like, whatever. Those conversations are always boring, but I did think it was interesting that Emmanuel asked her about the Rachel scenario, and I think she gave, like, a very kind of, like, political answer, because you live in the house with these girls. Like, they probably are friends, Rachel and Michelle.
Yeah. And so if Michelle is saying, like, I think that Rachel has a good heart, I think that that's important to know.
Yeah. And for me, and, like, Ben watched, like, the last 30 minutes with me, and we both, at the same time, were, like kind of blown away by Emmanuel said something that was so pertinent, because I think that, like, we throw the word, like, racism around, and those types of labels like stick forever. And he made it very clear, like, Rachel, I don't think that you are racist. We're not saying you're a racist person. There's a difference between being racist and being racially insensitive. And he made it a point to refer to her as racially insensitive multiple times, which I think is an important distinction.
I agree. I thought the same thing.
So I just think that's when he said that, I'm like, he was the man for the job. Like, Rachel Lindsay was totally right in nominating him, because it's so layered, and this is like what people talk about now all the time, like cancel culture and everything. And I think he kind of picked it apart very delicately. And at the end of the day, I think he was trying to be devil's advocate, trying to like have compassion for Matt. And I think he did an excellent job. Like, I would give him a 5 stars out of 5.
Yeah, while also asking questions that I think a lot of us have.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, when we sat down with Rachel and Matt, like, it was not at all what I expected. I was pretty sure that they had broken up, because
That's what we heard.
And I just don't know how, like, any couple, like, really gets through that. Like, it's so awkward, you know?
Yeah. So he sat down with Matt first, and he chronicled the post filming journey where they were in a honeymoon stage. It was really great. These things started to come up. Matt said that he just sort of dismissed them as like rumors. And then after Rachel Kirkconnell put out her apology, they broke up. That's what he said.
Yeah. And basically he had said that when they were talking, basically like at first Rachel like really didn't understand why they were so bad. And I thought that the question Emmanuel asked Rachel, like, okay, you win this show, you get engaged to a black man. How many nights do you lie awake thinking about these photos? You know they exist, thinking they're going to come back to haunt you, resurface. And her answer, which was super honest, was like, literally, I didn't think about it once because I did not think I was doing anything wrong at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that was kind of like indicative of the entire thing here. It's like she didn't actively, you know, go to a party wanting to hurt an entire community. It was just her ignorance that blinded her from like the history of antebellum parties.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a great question. But what he had basically said was like Rachel's at first, now it seems like she's really committed to, you know, learning more. But at first when it came out, like she kind of refused to even within her and Matt's relationship, refused to like see it as a big deal.
Yeah. And so I think that her reaction to that and the conversations that ensued after were the reasons. And I think those things are obviously things that we don't know, but how they led to breaking up over it.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I just, especially the conversation between Rachel and Matt, like I just felt really, really sad.
Me too.
Because like Matt was like super angry. And like when Emmanuel was like, you want to have one last embrace? And like Matt just sat there. Like I just felt bad for really everyone. Like it was so sad. Cause at the end of the day, like there is a love lost. And I really did feel like if this hadn't happened, like I do think that they could have been like hardcore OTP.
Yeah, I agree. It's so sad for both of them. I think for Matt, he went on this whole journey and to have it end like this.
Right.
I think that he must be just very sad. And I think for Rachel, who calls him the love of her life, like multiple times that she'll never feel this way about someone else. Like, it's just really sad. That's how I felt watching the end of it. And it was tough.
It was tough. Like, it was
just really intense. And everyone was, like, freaking out over the silences.
But that's how those conversations go.
Right. And so that's what happened. Like, they could have cut them out, sure. But, like, that's what was happening.
Yeah, no, it was super intense. And, like, I think even at times, like, Emmanuel felt really awkward because, like nobody was saying anything because nobody knew what to say. Like, of course, I'm sure Matt would love to, like, you know, be in love with Rachel again and, like, take her back. But it's so much more layered than that.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting after the final rose, perhaps the most interesting we've had in a while. But at the end of the day, I just left like with this sadness.
Yeah. Then they tried to turn things around by announcing the new Bachelorette. And
we're both the Bachelorettes.
It is Katie and Michelle. So I think Katie's going first. This was based on the spoiler that I read, which turned out to be true.
That I read was just Katie.
Oh, no. The spoiler that I read, which sounds totally true, is that Katie is going first. Then they'll film Paradise. And then this summer, they'll film Michelle's season because she didn't want to miss school because she's committed to those campers. Wow. And we absolutely love to see that.
Wow, wow, wow.
So she said she wouldn't have done it if she had to take off.
Oh my God, I love her. She's like so not thirsty.
No, it's so beautiful, like that the campers are her priority.
No, I know a million girls who would leave the campers in the dust for a chance.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. So actually I have a lot of respect for that.
Yes.
But.
And then also that explains why we have two former Bachelor hosts, Caitlin and Tayshia. I'm assuming one will be for Katie's season and one will be for Michelle's season.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that way it's not like it takes two women to do the job of one man.
Right, because it really, and not even the job of a man, the easiest job ever.
To say this is the final rose.
Right, there's one rose left. Thank you, Professor Harrison. but that does lead me to the future of the franchise and my relationship with the franchise. Mm-hmm. And there was one episode where I was really like, you know, Katie's my girl because she like stood up against the bullies. That does not a Bachelorette make. And I just like, I feel, and I get this way every couple of years, like very fatigued by the franchise, really feeling like they take advantage of my time, especially last night, like 3 hours, like there was 20 minutes of really good content in there. And that's all we really needed to see.
They don't know how to be like, it's a finale. It could be 1 hour with a 1 hour special.
How long are episodes of Love Island?
An hour, I think, but they're on 5 nights a week.
Got it. Okay.
Would you rather that?
No. I was just curious. So I think as it stands, like, I really feel like I've outgrown the franchise. And of course, maybe that'll change in a few years. But even though I like Michelle, I don't live for Katie. So I definitely won't watch Katie season. And although I do like Michelle, like, she's very nice. Like, and nice is boring. Like, give me Claire Crawley, crazy, chaotic energy. Like, that's what makes good TV. So I'm happy for her. I wish them both incredible luck. I do feel as though I'll be sitting out this franchise. Also, it makes me such a negative person. Like, I come on here and I'm like, sex.
I agree. What about Paradise?
Paradise is good, but then it's like, if I don't know the people, like.
Yeah, so I think you'll be able to watch this season of Paradise. You won't know, like, Katie's guys, but then probably going forward. I agree. I think I've aged out.
Yeah.
And I'm moving on.
And I got a bunch of DMs from people being like, it's literally like an addiction. Like, I quit The Bachelor years ago and I've never looked back. Like, yeah. And I just want to, I want that energy for the rest. And you know what? Norma Kamali said, like, the pandemic, like, we are slowly coming out of it and we have so much to do in the next year. We have
so much catching up to do.
I don't have time to spend 2 hours a week watching The Bachelorette when I could be at the edge of a cliff like Norma said I should be.
Yeah, I agree. So that's that on that.
Yeah.
See ya, Bachelor.
See ya. And one last thing, when Matt sat alone with Emmanuel, just kind of talking about the responsibility he felt internally and then just like external pressures of being the first Bachelor, I thought the way he kind of communicated that to someone who might not understand what it's like to be the first Black Bachelor, like myself, I thought was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he feels this responsibility, like, going into the homes of millions of Americans who might not have had like a Black man in their home before, but have like these kind of built up stereotypes and like imaginations like of what a Black man is. And I just thought like he did a great job representing himself, his family, the franchise, him and his brother look so much alike. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. But neither one of them I really saw looked like their mom.
No, but they do look so much alike.
It's crazy. Like, are they twins, Basil?
No, I don't think so.
No, but then
it's
also,
just like me and you.
You told me that a lot of people were saying online that his brother looked like Colin Kaepernick, which is so true.
Yes.
Crazy.
Crazy. Okay, so that's about your recap. Anything else you want to say?
I just want to say,
who knows if we'll ever be speaking on The Bachelor again?
Right. I just want to say goodbye. And you know,
goodbye.
It might not be a goodbye. It might be a see you later, but it's probably a goodbye. And I want to say thanks for the memories. I've made actually a lot of really good friends from watching The Bachelor. But I've also wasted a lot of my time and lost a lot of brain cells. So I'm going to lay the franchise to rest. I do feel as though in its own way, the Bachelor, like, will be coming to it. Like, I just feel like it can't go on forever. And for a while, it felt like it was going to go on forever, but it's kind of starting to, like, self-implode.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, it might be the end of The Bachelor as well.
Yes.
Not now.
Not now.
But sooner than we thought.
Yeah. I think these next two seasons plus Paradise is going to be very indicative for them.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people also feel the way that we do. Like,
me too.
We're now going to say our goodbyes.
Yes. Goodbye.
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 Okay. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
Some happy bebe news.
Ocean.
Lala Kent gives birth to daughter Ocean. It's a wave of happiness for the Emmett family.
LOL. Oh, a wave.
That's funny. Vanderpump Rules star Lala Kent and her fiance, Hollywood producer Randall Emmett, have welcomed their first child together, a daughter named Ocean. The 30-year-old new mom captioned a photo of herself cradling the newborn on Monday, saying, "Ocean Kent Emmett."
Super happy for them, obviously. I kind of loved their very nonchalant announcement, like no major photo shoot, just like Lala, probably on Randall's phone, like right when the baby came out.
Yeah.
And I actually love them as a couple. When you think of how far they've come, like, remember she was driving the white Range Rover and everyone thought she was, like, having sex with an NFL player who was, like, paying for her life. And now they have a baby together and it's, like, a nice life. I'm really happy for them.
I'm really happy for them. I really like the name Ocean. It's not, I hadn't thought about what I was expecting, but I guess I wouldn't have expected something so
conventional
for her. And I think it's just a really pretty name.
Me too. It is really pretty. It's just so crazy, like, how Sheena is about to have a baby. Brittany's about to have a baby. Like, in the last year, Vanderpump Rules has changed so much.
Yeah. They're still not filming. Also, Stassi just had a baby. Mm-hmm. There's just so many Vander babies.
There's so many Vander bumps.
Well, the bumps are turning to babies.
That's true. But I do think there, like we've said this a few times, there is an opportunity for a show there. But so many of the members have been, you know, quote unquote, canceled that I don't know, like, how that works.
Yeah.
But like this group of very famous friends are all having babies. Like it is an interesting concept for a show.
Yeah. Really cute.
I don't know if we'll get it, but happy for Randall and Lala.
Me too.
I feel like she was pregnant for like a while.
Oh, I feel like hers was shorter. Like it just felt shorter because it was like came after. I guess she was the second announcement, but before Brittany?
I don't know.
I feel like Brittany's been pregnant for so long.
My favorite thing is like when pregnant people acknowledge that like other people feel like they've been pregnant for so long and they're like, imagine how I feel.
100%.
That's going to be me.
Yeah. Okay, next up, a little royal news. Prince Philip, 99, was released from the London hospital after 28 days. Prince Philip has been released from the hospital and is in good spirits, a royal source tells People. The Duke of Edinburgh has today been discharged from King Edward VII's hospital and has returned to Windsor Castle following treatment for an infection and a successful procedure for a pre-existing condition, a Buckingham Palace spokesperson said on Tuesday.
That royal healthcare man just keeping corpses alive.
Yeah, I mean, the pictures of him leaving the hospital.
Truckers for Prince Philip are here.
Oh, they are the very royal strong. Truckers. The royal truckers. They ride.
They ride hard.
They ride or die.
Hard.
I feel like it was a little worrisome there for a second. He was in the hospital for a while. And I'm glad to see that he's coming home.
Yeah. It's also kind of crazy that, like, he goes to a hospital. Like, wouldn't they have a hospital in the palace, you know?
Yeah, it's certainly big enough. But also, like, hospital has all the latest and greatest.
No, of course. And, like, if we learned anything from Joan Rivers, it's like if you're having a procedure, do it in a hospital.
Go to the hospital.
Yeah, because if she was in a hospital for her standard endoscopy, is that what it's called? Throat thing? She would have been fine.
Yeah. Damn.
Damn. Taken too soon. Somehow all conversations lead to Joan Rivers being taken from us too soon.
Yeah, because it's all you can think about once you think about it.
When you think about, like, health.
Yeah.
Picture of health, Joan Rivers.
I agree. By the way, I'm looking at the monitor and the plant behind you looks so stunning.
Oh, I don't think we really told everyone who's watching on the YouTube. We've had some like recent changes. We got a lot of comments on our Instagram that the carpet we used to have like looked like a wee-wee pad, and it did.
No, and it's like we didn't need comments on Instagram to let us know. Like we knew it was dirty.
Our boot marks, Theo and Bruno have both peed on it. Jackie one time trekked in some like weird oil on her boot that like left skin marks everywhere.
Yes. Also then like 2 weeks ago while we were doing Patreon, I dropped my coffee and that was really the last straw. So.
But the thing is that on the show you can't really see the carpet at all except under the table, so like it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but then for the post show pics it was like
it
bad.
Was gross,
and I would try and edit them like, you know, in Facetune, yeah, or remove the stain, and there was nothing that could be done.
So we got a new carpet. It's supposed to be like one of the, this is like for kids, like meant to like have paint spilled on it, you know.
Yeah, so hopefully it's better and brighter. And then our new plant
is from one of our sponsors that we did last week,
Bloomscape. Sickening, right?
Sickening.
It looks so good behind you. Now I want a plant.
And it's been a while since we had plenty vibes here in our studio, when we used to literally exclusively cultivate plenty vibes in our old studio.
Right. And this is a live one. Those ones were fake.
Oh, we got to take care of it.
Yeah. Water and everything. We have a living being in the studio.
Wow. A friend for Theo.
Someone's living here. A squatter.
It's a ghost. Spooky.
The ghost of Bloomscape's past.
Before we move on, I do feel like I have something to say.
Okay, I think it's so important that when you have something to say, that you say it.
And I really feel like today's sponsor speaks for itself, and I don't know if there's any toasters left who don't have brooches, but just in case there is one lonely toaster who hasn't gotten a brooch yet, I am here to change your life, because Brooch is the best electric toothbrush on the market. It is so well designed, works so well, and it is so reasonably priced, where so many electric toothbrushes cost over $200, which is why for the longest time I never bothered to get one, even though I knew that it would be better. And then Brooch came into our lives and changed us completely. The brush itself has 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience. The battery life lasts 4 weeks, and it comes with a magnetic charging stand and compact travel case. They also have a subscription program, so you never forget to change your brush head again. They'll ship you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head, which, as I recently learned, can lead to bad breath and just a lot of problems. So you got to change your brush a lot, and if you're using plastic toothbrushes, that is not good for the environment. Another reason to go Brooch. They have sleek designs. The Brooch Electric Toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design that comes in trend-driven seasonal colors, and it looks great on your bathroom counter. If you want to get 15% off your Brooch toothbrush kit and refill plan, use the promo code TOAST at Brooch.com. That's 15% off using the code TOAST at Brooch.com. And for that one lonely toaster who hasn't gotten it yet, don't wait.
It's going to change your life. Okay, last two stories are a little TV news. Okay. First up, Grammys ratings tank in 2021, possibly to an all-time low. The 2021 Grammys made history and turned heads, but it still couldn't win the ratings game. Early ratings from Nielsen have the awards drawing a measly 7.9 million total viewers. Although the numbers should climb when adjusted for time zones, last year 18.7 million viewers tuned into the event, and that was also pretty low.
Wait, to go from 18 to 8?
Yeah, and then in 2019 it was 19.9.
Got it. So to go from 19 to 18 is like whatever. We're living in the age of streaming. Of course, it's going to go down. But to go from 18 to 8, that's really bad.
That's really bad. And it's like, I feel like last night's episode of The Bachelor probably put up like
the close
numbers. Because I think Bachelor usually gets around like 5. 2 million. But I feel like everyone was watching that after the final rose last night.
Wait, I'm shocked. Like, and no, by the way, it's
really bad.
We report on this after every award show. Like, the ratings always go down. And it's just like a combination of people not having cable anymore, kind of celebrities, like, especially in recent years, especially with COVID, like, just becoming, like, random almost. And I'm just, like, shocked at the skip. Like, I read that headline, but I did not read that first line. Like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
And I'm actually really shocked that it's the Grammys, because I think of, and I said this yesterday, of all the award shows, the Grammys to me is like the most inclusive in terms of like, I think the most people from different walks of life like listen to music, you know? Yeah. Everyone listens to music and all genres are represented, all age groups. Like, I don't know, I find that shocking.
Yeah, I mean, people don't want it.
They don't want it.
Good to know for us.
And after our conversation yesterday, we got a lot of feedback from people saying they won't be watching the Oscars and they really don't need us to recap it. So thank you, because I'm going to use those few hours to take Norma's advice and go to the edge of a cliff.
Perfect. Looking forward to it.
I'll probably just sit in bed like watching something else, but you know what I mean.
Maybe you'll be reading. Maybe you'll be doing your puzzle.
I've got to finish The Mother-in-Law, this book that I'm reading. I just love it. Like, I don't want to finish it.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. I'm reading a book that I have been reading. Like, it's taking me so long. I'm not really loving it, but now I'm at like 80%. So hopefully I can just finish it. It's called The Editor. And I chose it based on...
Is it called The Big Time Magazine Editor or just The Editor?
Just The Editor. Ooh, but actually, it is a Big Time Editor, because it's like... historical fantasy. It's like the editor is Jackie O, like she like edits for a publishing house, so it's like it's not real, but it's based on a real person.
But it's so interesting.
I thought so too.
Yeah,
you know. Fifth and final story, a little more TV news. World of Dance was canceled at NBC after 4 seasons, and before you ask, it is the one with J-Lo.
Oh, okay. Well, so there's So You Think You Can Dance, which is like the less popular Dancing with the Stars. But one time we talked slander about So You Think You Can Dance and the SYTTD community. Like, no, wait. So You Think. SYTTD is Say Yes to the Dress. Sorry.
Oh, SYT.
Whatever.
YD.
So You Think You Can Dance community like came for us. They're like, no, we are strong. So I was wrong about that. But I don't think I'm wrong, seeing as how this got canceled, that like World of Wonder Dance, whatever it's called, is nothing of the sort.
Yeah, and also now with The Masked Dancer, how can they compete?
And The Masked franchise is actually, like, killing it. When they first announced their show, like, The Masked Singer, I'm like, well, we've hit an all-time low in creativity in Hollywood. Like, this is the dumbest idea. People fucking love it.
I know. You know, I felt that way about this show that they were showing a commercial for last night on The Bachelor. It's about, like, it's like a dog grooming competition. Like,
what?
The perfect pooch or something. Lisa Vanderpump is a judge. Oh. Rebel Wilson hosts. And I was like, literally, who would ever watch it? The commercial comes on. I'll tell you who. Bruno was hyper. Oh, and it's like, oh, then I would put it on if Bruno would enjoy it.
No, and that's actually similar to like So You Think You Can Dance. Like, there is a cult community of people who are like obsessed with dog grooming. There's a community of people who are obsessed with dancing. Like, that's the beauty of entertainment. Like, there's truly something for everyone. There's Dr. Pimple Popper. Her show is very popular on TLC.
Yeah. I wouldn't have expected a dog grooming show on like ABC prime time, but you never know.
Have you watched The 1,000-Pound Sisters?
I have not.
It's so good. And they're like viral on TikTok. And there's this sound that's going viral. And it's literally like me and you. Try being my size, Amy. You don't know how it is. It's literally like my life in a sound. And I think you should get into 1,000-Pound Sisters. It is a spinoff of My 600-Pound Life, which
is... But they're 1,000 pounds?
Together.
Oh.
You know, it's a misleading.
And I was going to say 1,000 pounds each, because why is she saying try being my size if they're...
So I think it's like 600 and 400. Like one, I forget their names, but one of them is much more physically like able-bodied than the other because there's such a disparity between their weight.
Oh, okay. That's confusing.
Yeah, but we love a sister show and I actually think you would like it. I have to get Olivia to watch it because Olivia and I are obsessed with My 600-Pound Life and literally Olivia once bought me a magnet. You're supposed to put it on your fridge of Dr. Nazarden. So like every time you go in for a snack, it's like, what would Dr. Nazarden say?
That's really funny.
And he's a fucking savage. Like that, he really is the heart and soul of that franchise.
Oh, for sure.
TLC is just popping out weird content left and right. I actually I went through a TLC phase. Like I was obsessed with Sister Wives, which just like recently became like it's too much for me. And I also became obsessed with my 19-pound scrotum, something like that. It was a really interesting show. When I was in high school, like me and my friends were obsessed with TLC. Like we would watch the craziest shit.
That's so crazy.
And then like me and my friend Rachel, who were like really obsessed, we both decided to start Sister Wives and she didn't start it and I did. And then I became so hooked. And that's how my love affair with Cody, Robin and the gang began.
Damn, okay, maybe I'll check out Thousand Pound Sisters.
I actually think you'll like it. Like, they're hysterical. Oh, and they're also influencers. Like, they, like, have a community before the show. Now they're super famous. But before the show, they were, like, YouTubers.
Oh, cool.
You know, it's just, it's very layered, which is my new favorite word. I think we need layered merch.
Okay.
I say everything is layered, because you know what?
Most things are.
Thank you.
Most things are.
Theo just got up. Looks like he's enjoying the carpet. Yeah, and that's all you can hope for.
That's a sign of approval for sure.
I think that's it, right?
I think that is all she wrote on this beautiful Tuesday.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you have an amazing day. And we'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day. And a little sneak peek of our new merch launching on Thursday. Bye.
Bye.